Book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse 1.
Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel.
Now here is saying, adversaries of Judah and Benjamin. Now if you remember, these people came, Cyrus told them to build the temple. And last week we learned, instead of building the temple, they built the altar. And they said, we are afraid. We have fear that enemy would come. That fear comes to your mind, the things will start happening negatively. Anything, if you think negatively, the fear comes in your heart, and then you start dwelling on that fear, then you lose the blessings of God, you lose the power of God, and you lose the faith of God, and you go astray. So, when the enemy brings this fear, because we know who brings the fear. The word of God says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. We are children of God. We have to think, if God has not given this fear, then why should we be afraid? Enemy wants to scare you. Enemy wants to bring you all kinds of accusation. You might be healthy. All of a sudden, you go to the doctor and doctor says, you have a cancer. All of a sudden, when you heard that, and everything start getting negative. The person says, you know, you might have 5 years, 10 years plan. He forgets all. And they say, doctor, how much time I have? You have maybe 3 to 6 months. That person start making his funeral arrangement. This is what the enemy wants. Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We never listen to the enemy and don't get afraid. You remember the Job. Job had everything going good for him. He was the richest man in that town. Everybody salute him. He was the great man. When you have money, everybody respects you. So this Job was very, very, very well-known person. But the word of God says when the trouble start coming, he start thinking, why this trouble came to me? Then he realized, whatever he was afraid, the thing came to him. Just go to the Job chapter 3 and verses 25 and 26.
For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me.
See what he's saying? For the things which I greatly fear, not ordinary way, greatly fear. Now why he should be worried? He has lots of money, so many children, good wife, and everything going dandy. And so that's the time you should be rejoicing. But he had the fear. He's having all the time giving sacrifices, thinking, my children commit sin, what would happen if something happened wrong? That he's doing this thing. But we never saw anywhere he's correcting his children. He's not telling them, you should not be doing this, but do whatever you want. And if God is going to zap you, I'm going to do the sacrifice so God will protect you. Did that sacrifice protect? No. And so he says, I was afraid of these things, and these things came upon me. Verse 26.
I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came.
See, he says, I was not in safety. You had all kinds of servants, everything. Why you didn't have safety? Because he always was afraid. Somebody will come and kidnap my children. Somebody will come and burn our houses. Somebody will come and take our land. Or something would happen. So he was not living in safety. When you are a child of God, why you worry? The word of God says, you go and read Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 25 to 33. He says, why you worry about tomorrow? Why you worry about food? Why you worried about shelter? He says, I give to the birds, I give to even flowers. Why you worry? So he's saying, I have everything, but I was afraid of my safety. Do you know the rich people are always afraid that somebody's going to kill them? If you are a poor man, you don't have to worry about it. But the point I'm making, they live in fear. They have security guard, they have guards to take care of them, and some of the guards kill them. So there is no safety without God. So he was saying, I was not living in safety, and neither had I rest. Can you imagine? The man had lots of money, lots of servants, but he could not get the good night's sleep, no rest. That's why the people getting sleeping pills. Why? They are afraid. Afraid of something. Something is going to happen. My husband will leave me. Even the husband loves her. So one of these days, my husband is going to leave me. And start accusing. I think you are looking at another lady. And or you keep on fighting. He says, this is trouble. Let me get out of this marriage. That's what happened. Don't try bugging your husband. If you really, really find out something, the proof, that's a different thing. But you keep on accusing somebody, you didn't come on time, and all kinds of accusation, and no truth, and husband loves you and loves your children, but you're not living in peace. I don't worry about my wife. I have no fear at all that she will leave me and go somewhere else. So he says, I didn't have the rest, neither I was quiet. Yet trouble came. God gave you everything, but you didn't have peace. You don't have quietness. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you have given to me is all sufficient. The word of God says, little bit what the righteous man has is more than what the wicked has. That money is all sufficient. God can supply our needs. So he said, I was afraid from the beginning. I didn't have the rest, I didn't sleep, and I was not quiet. Always I had trouble. There was a man, he was very rich and didn't have peace. He became a Christian, gave up everything and got a small apartment and went to some hotel or somewhere, and people were cleaning the floor and tables. He said, can I do that? And somebody said, you are a millionaire. Why are you doing cleaning these tables and cleaning the floor and living in an apartment? He said, because when I was rich, living in a big mansion, I was not happy, always afraid. But now I have peace. So the point I'm making, money doesn't give you happiness. Money gives you so much headache. More the money, more the users. If you have $1 million coming, your relatives, they never saw you, they will come to you. Everybody will say, I'm daughter somebody and somebody somebody. They always come when you have money. Look at the Job. When he lost the money, nobody came. When God gave him a double the amount, everybody came back and started giving him gold and this. Where were you when I needed you? So here we see the man living in luxury, but living in fear and anxiety. And fear is opposite of faith. If you have fear, that means you don't trust in God. Simple as that. These people, when they're building the temple, they got all the letter from the government, all the money from the Cyrus, build the temple, and he gave them authority to go and build the temple. What they're doing? Let's make an altar. People will be afraid. They won't be allowing to do something. And somehow, when they start building laying the foundation, they start crying and they start shouting. I'm not saying they should have done this thing. Wait until the building is built. You're making a lot of noise. Let's go and see. And they saw these people are building the temple. Sometimes we make a lot of noise. As I said the other day, when you buy a new house, you call 100, 200 people. Come, I bought the house. Come and see. Why you have to make advertisement? Why you have to be proud to tell other people to come and see my house? Just thank God and glorify God. But some people are doing these things, and then some people come and you showing the house, they look everywhere, and sometimes they put something in their pocket and gone. This is what happens. So the point I'm making, you don't have to show and be proud what God has given you. These people would have quietly built the temple. They knew these people are enemies. Some of the people are not allowing to build the temple. We are just laying the foundation. Let's build the temple and then we celebrate. One mind, one accord, they would have built the temple faster and easier. But they didn't want to build it and they had a fear. And then these people came to him. Let's read the verse 2. Ezra chapter 4 verse 2.
Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon king of Assur, which brought us up hither.
Now these people came with the peace, came with the good ideas, and say, you know what? We came here, and they give the king's name, and they said, the king brought us here, and we are here in this country, and we worship your God. Why can they say, your God and my God is the same? But he says, we worship your God, and we want to help you. What we are going to do, we are going to build the temple with you. Sounds good? So these people might be thinking, those people will be very happy and give us permission to build the temple. Actually, we don't want these people building the temple. So what we'll do? Make a crooked wall, make us some kind of problem and delay, and we will not allow them to build the temple. And so that was their idea, because the first verse says, these people were adversaries. Enemy coming and giving you good advice. Do you take it? No. The Bible says in the Psalm 1, the man who doesn't sit with the unsaved people, do not take their advice and do not sit with them. If you are a child of God and when you have a problem, don't call your friend who is messing around his or her life and say, you know what, my husband just left me. What should I do? What advice that person will do if she is already prostitute? She will give a bad idea. He said, hey, I have a job for you. I'm making $1,000 a day. Why you worry about with one husband? I can have lots of friends for you. So point I'm making, don't look at friends who are not really godly people. Unsaved people will mess up your marriage, mess up your business. If you have a partner with unsaved person, he might be knowledgeable. He will mess up your business. He will mess up your house. I just heard a news. The man was very friendly with the man, head of the house. And the man said, oh, he's my partner. We are selling the house. Could you come to my house? He came to house. He burned the house, he burned his wife, he burned her son, and took the girl and ran. You trusted that man. He's not a godly man. Took the girl and ran away. The point I'm making, do not trust unsaved person. In India, there are people, they will travel with you. They will have the very good suit, very good clothes, and they will sit beside you and they will say, oh, would you like to go to bathroom or something? I'll watch your bags. And they say, okay, this man is a very dignified man and he would not do such a thing. So now they have almost 12 hours to 20 hour journey. So they will keep the bag and he will say, this is my bag. And he'll make a friendship for six hours or 12 hours and they trust him. And then they have to now
change the compartment and go to another compartment and then go there and eat their trust. Before the last visit, they go to bathroom, all the bags are gone and everything is gone. Why? Because you trusted the unsaved person. That's why the word of God says, do not have a fellowship with unsaved people. Read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting from verse 14 to 16. Here it says, do not be unequally yoked. This is not only marriage, but the business or any partnership. Do not do with unbelievers. Please read.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
One more verse. 17.
Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
See, do not touch unclean thing. Come out of them. Be separated. Don't do business with unsaved person. Don't marry unsaved person. Don't have any relationship with unsaved person. He might be very good. He might be good for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, showing you friendship and say, oh, this person is good. Trying to take care of my children, trying to take care of my business, trying to do this and that. And you develop the friendship, and all of a sudden, boom, everything is destroyed. Because you trusted the unsaved person. Some people say, we should not be give business to Christian. Christian are crooked. Give business to unsaved people, they are much more better. I said, don't you know that unsaved people do not have fear of God? They can do anything and they will not feel guilty. But the Christian person cheated you one time, he will feel guilty and he will ask forgiveness. But those people will not. I'm not saying namely Christian person. You interview that person before you give your job. But the point I'm making, you have to be very careful. Do not trust unsaved people. They will be your enemy someday and you will be sorry. So here these people are coming. Somebody will say, why Zerubbabel and all these people did not allow these people to build the temple? Do you know why? Because first of all, they were mixed married with the Samaritan people. They were some of them half Jewish and half Samaritan. And now they said, we worship your God. You remember that Samaritan lady came to Jesus and she said, oh, we worship in this mountain. We worship the same Jehovah God. What Jesus said? The time will come. Our God is a spirit. And we should worship him in the spirit and truth. You don't make some idols and same time worship Jehovah. So the point I'm making, these people are saying, you know what? We want to help you. We are so glad that you came here. We worship the same God, and let us help you to build the temple. We will give you money. We will labor. Don't allow those kind of people to help you, because they are not really helper. They want to destroy you, destroy your church. There are so many places I heard some people get into their church, they are not saved, they are not born again, and they get into the church and they slowly, slowly get into the ministry, and once they are ordained in the ministry, they destroy their church. They waited 10 years, 5 years, whatever the time comes. What happened to these Catholic churches? All these Catholic churches, how these people came and there got into them and destroyed their churches. It happens everywhere. One time one man came to our church and he was fully drunk and bad smell and everything. And he comes to me, he said, Pastor Peter, can I greet the people? I said, sir, you smell. And you, if somebody comes and you greet the people, instead of they coming in, they will go out. They say, we don't want to come to this church. Who is this? What kind of church is this? So, next time he comes, and we had the 55-passenger bus. He comes and he knew where the bus was parked. And I just came once in a while, I'll go to the church and start the bus and keep the engine running because we were not using every day. So I parked the bus and went there to start the bus, and I finished everything and I was just getting out, this man comes. Before he comes, I locked the door and everything and I stood outside. I said, what can I do for you? I want to help you. So for what? I want to help you to drive this bus. I have a license and I do all of these things. And I said, sir, you are very kind. You want to help Pastor Peter. But I would not allow anybody to drive this bus if they are having a bad habit of drinking. Just think that I give you the chance to drive this bus and there are 55 people sitting here and you get into the accident and you kill our people. Who is responsible? I am responsible for my flock. I'm sorry, I would not allow you to drive the bus. Then he comes to the church and complains to the lady who introduced this church. And she came to me, she said, don't you know somebody I brought to your church and that person wants to help you and you don't want their help? I said, ma'am, first of all, tell that person to quit the habit. He can come to church and listen, and one of these days he will quit the habit, then we can use him. But you don't want help? I said, no, we don't want help. The lady left and the guest left. I said, thank God. I don't want trouble. I can live with five people. I don't want 500 people giving me a hard time. So the point I'm making, this Zerubbabel and the elders and everybody thought these people are troublemakers. They are filthy people. They are living in sin. We are building the temple of God. They are going to defile the temple. We don't need their help. And that's why they said, you know what? We don't need your help. Let's read the verse 3.
But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us.
Now they said the truth. Listen, we don't need your help. We have enough help. And do you know who told us to build this temple? The Cyrus told us to build the temple. So we have the government authority. Government is sending the money and we are going to build the temple. Now sometimes you give too much information to enemy, it's not good. Whatever they ask, you give the short answer. Whatever the question they ask. If you give the long, long list they don't need to know, they will be more trouble to you. The point I'm making, you have to learn not to give information to your enemy. So they are saying, Cyrus government told us to build this building, and that's what we are doing. Okay, we are going to go to the government now. And that's what they got the idea to how to interrupt their work. Verse 4.
Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
Now see what they're doing. He says, as soon as they heard that government gave them the money and government is trying to help them to build, so they start gather some counselors, some people, and go and harass these people. So they should not build the temple. And they came and start harassing them the time of Cyrus to time of Darius. Do you know how much time it was? 20 years. They start finding fault and trying to scare these people and interrupting the job. And that's what they were doing. But these people, even though they said, Jairus told us to build this, they had a good chance. You will be reading later on 5 and 6 chapter. So Cyrus gave the very good letter in writing. If anybody interrupts this, they should be killed. They should be destroyed. You will be learning later. But these people never read the letter or maybe put it into the file and they didn't care about If they had all this proof and say these people are trying to interrupt, you gave the order, it would have been stopped right away. But you allow the enemy to pinch you and one after another trouble, and you don't say anything, and it comes to up to nose, and then you say, hey, why are you doing this? I say to people, if you have a problem in the beginning, why don't you speak up? Right away, you correct your mistakes. Don't wait for 10 years or 5 years and suffer like that. So these people are suffering 20 years and didn't say anything to anybody. And so these people took advantage. Verse 6.
And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem.
Now they wrote to one king, and I don't think he didn't do anything. Maybe he knew Cyrus gave the permission. He knew a little bit. He didn't do anything. So they keep on telling, hey, listen, we went to the king, and king is going to give you the letter, and now the Cyrus is gone. Another king is coming, and we already filed the letter, and so you better don't do this building. And they start accusing, so the work was stopped, not doing. And so what happens? Verse 7.
And in the days of Artaxerxes wrote Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. Then read Rehum the chancellor and Shimshai the scribe and the rest of their companions, the Danaites, the Apharsathkites, the Tarbalites, the Apharsites, the Archivites, the Babylonians, the Susankites, the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Asnapar brought over, and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side the river, and at such a time.
Now, can you imagine? These people wrote to one king, he did not pay attention. Now another king comes, and they wrote to him. This time they organize. They organize all kinds of people. Every little town they go, and they say, listen, we need your help. We want to stop this work. We are going to go to the king, and we are going to represent the letter. And this is the way letter we are going to write. And the letter was written already. What these people are going to do, and what harm will come to the king. And so he said, we don't want these Jewish people building the temple. Do you know what the Jewish people were reigning over the all kingdoms? And so we don't want these people doing it. So they took all the enemies and surrounding areas and surrounding other kingdoms and told them to sign the letter. You remember, if somebody wants to make a petition and they get the million signature, and when the million signature comes to the desk, wow, this many people are against. So even though that is not a good thing to do, they will do it. Why? To please people. And from this we are learning, other people, if they want to do something wrong, take the Bible from the school or take the Ten Commandments from the court or courthouse, get the signatures. They offended one person. In the school, somebody was praying and the one person was offended. How about 99? Don't worry about 99. One person said, no, we don't need prayer. Stop it. And that's what they do, because they will have so many other lawyers and other people suing the company or suing the school, so they are afraid. This is what these people did. Gather all the people, and then they said, now we are going to write to another king, and he will stop it. And see what the letter was. Verse 11.
This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king, thy servants the men on this side of the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations.
Now, they are lying. There was no walls. They were just laying the foundation. And they are saying this city is rebellious city. this city is bad city. And so they are building the city. They were not building the city at that time. They were just building the temple. There was no wall, nothing. But they lied to the king and saying these people are now rebellious people, bad people, it's a bad city, the bad citizens, and they are doing something against the king. And now they are writing to the king what kind of these people are and what kind of this city is. Please read verse 13.
Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the wall set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings.
Now, money talks. They are going to say, your money flow is going to stop. These people are going to make this city, they are going to rebel against you, and then your money flow will stop, so you better stop this. And so, and they are giving more information. Now, this king might be a young king, he never studied the history, but in their history record is everything recorded. Who defeated Babylon? Who defeated Syria? Who was the king destroying our countries? The David, the king, did so many damage to us. Solomon was the king overall. And we used to pay the taxes and tribute and everything. So this king doesn't know. Let us tell him to read your history and see what we're saying right or wrong. And so they're writing to him. Verse 14.
Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king.
They are saying, you know what? You're helping us, so we are helping you. We do not want you to have trouble because you are our source of supply. So we want to help you to stop these things. Verse 15.
That search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers, so shalt thou find in the book of the records, and to know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was the city destroyed.
Now they are saying, go on, read in your history. These people are bad people. They have bad reputation. They did so many damage to the Babylonian kingdom, Syrian kingdom, and surrounding kingdom, and those people were ruling over you. And now they are under you. You better be strong, otherwise they will not pay any taxes. And the king says, wow, I want to find out if these people are telling the truth. Let's read the verse 16.
We certify the king that if this city be builded again and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Then sent the king an answer unto Rehum the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace and at such a time. The letter which he sent unto us hath been plainly read before me.
Now he says, you know what? The letter was written in Aramaic language, and they translated in his language, and he said, I heard the letter. They read it very plain in my own language, and I understood what the letter was saying. He wants to thank them. Thank you very much for writing this letter. I didn't know what was going on in my kingdom, what these people are building the temple, and if they are going to rebel against me, and you people are warning me, it's a good news for me. And so, thank you for your good letter. And then he gave the command to find out what it is. Verse 19.
And I commanded, and search hath been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them.
See, he says you are right. We did research. There was a king David. He was king over us. Then is King Solomon. He was running our countries. And we used to pay them taxes. And we used to pay them tribute. And so whatever you said is correct. And so we want to make some changes, means we are going to stop them. They are not going to rebuild their temple again. And I am going to give them the rules that if I say yes, you do it. If I say no, you cannot do it. So he had the power and he thought they are still under us. There was no king of Judah or any king of Israel at that time. They were all defeated. So he had the power to stop it. And so he is so thankful to these people and want to stop their work. See how these people were tricky? First of all, they said, I want to help you to build the church. I want to help you to build the temple. And now when they say, you cannot build, then they say, okay, I want to see how you're going to build. That's what the attitude people have. If they don't allow you to do something, they say, I don't want you to do anything. I would stop everything. And that's what's happening. But here the word of God is saying, this commandment was given, and so now he's going to come and stop the work. Let's read the verse 21.
Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that the city be not builded, until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power.
As soon as they got the letter, they were excited. Now we have the power. Up to now, we were just bossing around and trying to stop the work, and almost 20 years we tried to do it. But now we got the government letter, and so now we can permanently stop them building. Do you know there is a scripture, Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. Please read.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
Now if the God is not building your house, the builder's building is in vain. And if God is not watching the city, then watchmen awaken, waiting and trying to fight with your enemy is in vain. What does it mean? If God has given you power to build, who can stop you? Nobody has power to stop. That's the kind of mentality the people should have. If God told you to do it, nobody can tell you to not to do it. The point I'm making, God told these people to build the temple. And I have inspired the Cyrus. Go do it. But they wasted their time and they did not do it. And so here they come, and now the enemy comes and gives the letter of this king and telling them, this is the proof. And now we have power to shut your building project. And see what happens. Verse 24.
Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
See, they came by power, they stopped the work, and now another king is coming, and he is Darius the king, and in his first year of time, maybe they stopped it. And now, when we read in the book of Haggai, Darius, of his second year of the reign, Darius gives the permission to build. Now that we are going to read in next chapter. But the point I'm making, 20 years passed, and these people were struggling to build the temple. Now when the Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the prophet, came and start telling these people, hey, are you afraid of king? You had the permission and everything. Why you are afraid of people? Why don't you build? You're building your houses and you're building everything and you're not building the house of God. That's why you're cursed. That's why you're not getting food. That's why you bring everything and God is blowing out. Why don't you build the temple? And then you'll see the next chapter They did not care what the king said. They start building. Even though there was a strict letter not to build it, but they did not care because the prophet said it, the governor says, so let's do it. And they start doing the building, the temple, even though they says here in this chapter, cease. But we read in the next chapter, without government permission, they start building it. And that's what you have to do. When God says do it, don't worry who says no. Follow the Lord and you will never go wrong. Because if God is with you, nobody can against you. Here he says, if the God is not building the house, you cannot build. If God is not watching city, you cannot watch. So God has to be with you. And when you hold on to the Lord and all the negative things comes, as long as you're doing right thing, you give your tithes and offerings to God and you love the Lord and go to church and pray every day, no enemy has power to stop anything or take your job away. Once you start doing for the glory of God, then you get promotion from one job to another job to another job. And you get more money and more blessings. But if you start cheating on God, then you get into problem. I heard so many people, they pray, oh, Pastor Peter, please pray for my job and I'll give tithe. When they get a job and they don't give tithe and then they lose the job or some problem comes. But these people never learn. They get another prayer, another job and do the same thing again. And same problem comes and they lose job or get more problems. I tell you, when you loving God and you doing for the Lord, and if you lose the job, what you do? Thank God I lost this job, because when other job I was so hectic, I could not go and find another job. Now I have time to look for a good job. Be happy, and God will open the new door. But if you start cursing God, God, I give tithe. Why did you take my job? Now I have children and I have bills to pay. God said, okay, if you fight with me, are you going to win? No. You have to be humble enough and God will open the new door. So now these people learned the lesson. They learned the lesson that we were so soft and we listened to this enemy, and 20 years passed and we could not go anywhere. Now we are going to listen to the prophet of God. And the next chapter you will see, they didn't care the letter. They didn't care what they said. This king writes the letter. Without my permission, they cannot build it. I will give another letter if I want them to build. Until then, stop. Shall we rise? Our God is a good God. We're doing good thing. We are not afraid of any king. We are not afraid of anybody. Because God has called us to do the thing. Now the government making laws, how you preach, what to preach, what not to preach. Do you think we are going to be afraid of government? No way. The Paul went to jail, Peter went to jail, so many people went to jail preaching the gospel. We are not afraid of anybody. Preach the truth, tell the truth, and be God with you. I was in India. Went to Hindu temple and preached. Muslim mosque and preached. Wherever people say don't go, I went there and preached. If that heathen country God kept me, I'm in a Christian country. Why should I afraid? Preach the truth. Stay in the God's side. If you're afraid, then the enemy comes following you. There is a one word in 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. The love of God casteth out the fear. Please read that. And the fear has torment.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
See, if you are afraid of somebody, you cannot be made perfect. You love the Lord, and the fear will go away. Fear comes from the enemy. And you give in to enemy, you will live in fear in your whole life. You don't have to worry about anybody. You don't have to worry about anything. you focus on Jesus Christ. What he says, book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us grace. We are learning these lessons. We don't want to be afraid. We want to live in faith. Jesus Christ is our author and finisher of our faith. We are going to follow Christ. We are not going to follow anybody but Jesus Christ. And he has given us power, love, and sound mind. And let your people be strong in the spirit. And let them start doing the things pleasing to you. And you're going to protect them, protect their houses, protect their buildings, protect their jobs, protect their children. Everything you're going to protect as we love you and follow you. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.